Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Text Number 10. Ditiravacha Esha Mam Tat Krite Vidvan Kama Ata Sharasana Dunoti Dinam Vikramya Ramban Siva Matangaja Dityaravacha Esha Mam Tvat Krite Vidvan Kamata Sharasaha Dunoti Dinam Vikramya Rambaniva Matangaja Dityaravacha Esha Mam Tvat Krite Vidvan Kama Ata Sharasanaha Dunoti Dinam Vikramya Ramban Iva Matangaja All these Mam unto me Tvat Krite for you Vidvan, O learned one. Kama, Cupid. Ata, Sharasanaha. Taking his arrows. Dunoti, distresses. Dinam, for me. Vikramya, attacking. Ramban, banana tree. Eva, life. Matangaja, mad elephant. In that place, translation, in that place the beautiful deity expressed her desire. O learned one, Cupid is taking his arrows and distressing me forcefully as a mad elephant troubles a banana tree. Purport by Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Beautiful deity, seeing her husband absorbed in trance, began to speak loudly, not attempting to attract him by bodily expressions. She frankly said that her whole body was distressed by sex desire because of her husband's presence, just as a banana tree is troubled by a mad elephant. It was not natural for her to agitate her husband when he was entranced, but she could not control her strong sexual appetite. Her sex desire was like a mad elephant, and therefore it was the prime duty of her husband to give her all protection by fulfilling her desire. Text 11. Tadbhavam dayamanam yam sapatninam samridhivi pradavatinam madram te mayayuntam anugraham. Fifth translation. Therefore you should be kind towards me by showing me complete mercy. I desire to have sons, and I am very much distressed by seeing the opulence of my co-wives. By performing this act, you will become happy. Third point. In the Bhagavad Gita, sexual intercourse for beginning children is accepted as righteous. A person sexually inclined for simple sense gratification, however, is unrighteous. In Diti's appeal to her husband for sex, it was not exactly that she was afflicted by sex desires, but she desired sons. Since she had no sons, she felt poorer than her co-wives. Therefore, Kasyapa was supposed to satisfy his bona fide wife. Text 12. Vratar yapto rumananam loka avishate yasha patir bhavad vidoya sam prajaya nanu jayate. A woman is honored in the world by the benediction of her husband, and a husband like you will become famous by having children because you are meant for the expansion of living entities. Proof 1. According to Rishabdev, one should not become a father or a mother unless one is confident that he can beget children whom he can deliver from the clutches of birth and death. Human life is the only opportunity to get out of the material scene, which is full of the miseries of birth, death, old age, and diseases. Every human being should be given the opportunity to take advantage of this human form of life And a father like Kasyapa is supposed to beget good children for the purpose of liberation. Om Agnirjamanandasya Jananjana Salakaya Shaksun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutle Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Sa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttavra Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Pradhina Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shrivasatam Sitamska Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kantanamostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishubhana Sutta Devi Vranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has explained that material life is not unnatural, but it's simply the reflection of real life. Urdvam malam adakshakam Ashvatam Prabhuravyayam Tadamsi Yasya Parnami Yasvam Veda Sadevavit. That there is an imperishable banyan tree which has its roots upward and its branches down and its hymns of the Vedic leaves. Or leaves of the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is said to be the knower of the Vedas. So this material world is the reflection of the spiritual world. Here, the spiritual soul are trying to enjoy sense gratification. This is conditioned life. Vatsya vegam, manasya krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam, etan vegam, yo vishaheta dira, sarvam apimam prativim sashishat. That the senses, this body that we have, is made out of different senses, and there's vega, there is pushing from the different senses. The tongue is pushing us for sense gratification, the belly is pushing us for sense gratification, the organ of generation, the genitals are pushing us for sense gratification, and the mind is pushing us for sense gratification, as well as the words and the anger. Therefore, conditioned life means that the soul is being forced or being impelled to act, is being pushed to act by material sense gratification. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samudra, bhavaha. That lust, principally, is the driving force of material existence to satisfy the senses. This is what modern civilization believes is the actual goal of life. Achintyam apareyam cha pralayantam upashitya. Up until the very last moment in life, people are mad after gratifying their material senses. Nunam pramata krute vikarma. Therefore, vikarma means that they're willing to do any kind of activity if it satisfies their senses. Indeed, they have an expression which says that if it feels good, then you do it. And the more advanced person in modern civilization, he says, yes, if it feels good, then you do it, but try not to hurt anyone else while you're doing it, and then you're a good person. They have a religion where they say that if you live a good life, you enjoy in family life in this lifetime, then in the heavenly planets, then you'll go to heaven and become a god there. And then you'll be eternally happy in your self-saving material body. you'll be able to enjoy not some kind of limited sense gratification, but you can enjoy unlimited sense gratification. So they have a picture of mother, father, sister, brother, and they're all sitting on this big, big table with grandfather there and his old eternal body, grandmother there and their old eternal body, and everyone is very happy, and Jesus Christ is there. Everyone is happy except on the table there's one turkey with a knife in its back. So the turkey is rather in distress eternally. So this is the material conception of perfection. Let me perfect my life in sense gratification. But this conception is called griha vratana. This conception that let me remain in this material existence or in some kind of existence and satisfy the dictation of my senses. This is a very limited conception of life. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, Nityarna Krishne Paratak Sutova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Vratana. That no one can obtain Krishna consciousness, or this urge to become Krishna conscious can never be aroused as long as one wants to maintain some limited conception of life. And what is that limited conception of life? It begins with griha. Griha means house. And the first house that everyone lives in is this body. Everyone is, modern civilization means to at least externally decorate the body very, very nicely. Everything is more or less external in modern civilization. Some people a little advanced, they try and clean out their intestines by so many different health remedies. And they consider themselves very advanced. They're walking around with clean intestines and their nose is clean. They think, yes, I'm very pure. But their basic aim is they want clean intestines so they can put all kinds of rotten food down it again. Or healthy food. They can eat some healthy dead plant. They think this is very advanced. But the general society is simply external. Let me make my body look nice, smell nice, perfume, cosmetics. And when I die, let everyone see what a nice body I had. So they have caskets made out of gold, silver, with all kinds of decorations. Sometimes people spend more on their coffin than they do on their house. Because they figure, my house, I'll live in it 50 years, but my coffin, I'll have to spend a long, long time in there. So they have a nice padded coffin. They decorate the body very nicely. Sometimes they even say that, oh, there's John. He looks so peaceful now that he's dead. We've never seen him so free, so happy. And then for a special price, you can select a cemetery in America. They have cemeteries where they have three kinds of music they pipe into the coffin. So if you like classical music, without any disturbance, you can listen nonstop. Or rock music. They haven't, sometimes there are reports that the coffins are swaying underneath the ground. But this is all external. Therefore, Akura has said that civilization without Krishna consciousness is nothing but the decoration for a dead body. That a dead body may be very nicely decorated, but without consciousness, such a body is lifeless and useless. So here we find Aditi, she is in this bodily conception of life. And in these three different verses we read, practically speaking, there are different perspectives. But sex life in this verse is not condemned Although ultimately sex life is not the goal. People think that the goal is, if I can eat like a hog, if I can sleep like a bear, and if I can have sex like a pigeon, then my life is becoming more and more advanced. Nowadays, people's acharya is more or less the hog acharya. Why? Because the hog represents the perfection of sense gratification. That a hog, without any psychological hang-up, can have sex life spontaneously. The hog is on the spontaneous platform of sense gratification. People, they have to practice, study books, they have to get advice, sometimes they feel bad about what they're doing. But a hog can have sex with its mother, its father, its sister, its brother, anything that passes by. And it feels completely satisfied. No psychological disturbance. And the hog can eat anything. In India, sometimes we find, or many times we find, especially in Vrindavan, the hogs are in charge of the sanitation department. And they perform their service 24 hours a day, practically speaking, very dedicated. Sometimes the sewer, they have open sewers in Vrindavan, so we can find one hog sometimes up to its neck in all kinds of abominable things, but it's very happy. It simply opens its mouth and whatever flows in is appreciated. So the hog is the modern acharya. It can eat anything at any time of the day, anywhere. It can sleep anywhere. It can have sex life with anything. It is on the spontaneous platform of gratifying its senses. And there's no problem. The hog gets fatter and fatter and fatter. It's expanding itself. But this is not the goal of life. People don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna consciousness. Therefore, keeping themselves in this conception that I am this body, this is the first illusion. And why do people want to keep themselves in this conception of having a nice body, nice family, nice society? First thing is to gratify one's own senses, spend a little time gratifying the senses of my family, a little time gratifying the senses of society in general. But why do people want to keep themselves in this limited conception of life? Because they want to enjoy this sense gratification. Adanta govira vishitam dimizram. They're mad. Punak punak charvita charvinana. Although it is the same sex life over and over again, it is the same eating over and over again, but they're thinking that we are making some advancement. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that actually there is no past, present, and future. It's all the same thing, in other words, in the material world. In the past, people are eating, they were sleeping, they were having sex life, they were defending themselves. And today, it is guaranteed. What is everyone doing? Eating, sleeping, having sex life, and defending themselves. And without being an astrologer, we can predict that in 1,000,000 years from now, if there's anyone left on this planet, they'll be eating, sleeping, having sex life, and defending themselves. Maybe the particular dress, or the hairstyle, or the bed in which they eat, sleep, have sex, and defend themselves. Maybe that will change a little bit. But the basic principle will be there. But human civilization is meant to go beyond this limited conception of enjoying the senses. Although Diti is anxious to do this, but still, she has some spiritual conception also. Balam balavatam chaham kama raga vivarditam. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi varatarshiva. Still she wants to produce children, to raise them perhaps in God consciousness. As she predicts here very accurately that Kashyapa and Diti will become very famous by their little bouncing demon boys that they produce. The whole universe
will be thinking of them constantly. These rascals. But at least theoretically, it is a fact that if there is sex desire, if there is desire for sense gratification, therefore, nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yukta vairagyam uchite, that one cannot stop activity in the material world, nor can one stop the ways of sense gratification artificially. But simultaneously, one should think of service to Krishna. That even though we have this body, although we may be in the bodily conception of life, still, whatever activity we're doing should be done thinking, I'm doing it to please Krishna, under the directions of Krishna's representative. Then, by that association with Krishna, in other words, if one is engaged in some activity, bona fide activity, under the direction of the superior authorities, to please Krishna, then naturally one will think of Krishna. And if one thinks of Krishna, although one's consciousness may not be, or may be contaminated by material desire, still, because the idea to please Krishna is there, because Krishna is present, therefore, Krishna will reveal himself in proportion to one's sincerity. And as Krishna reveals himself, then the devotee becomes purified. Gyanena tutad agyanam yeshana shitam atmanaha. Or brahmapanam brahmahaivir brahmagno brahmahutam brahmaivatena kontavyam brahmakarma samadhina. That the more the activities in the material world are performed to please Krishna and Krishna alone, then the whole atmosphere becomes purified by a complete absorption in Krishna consciousness. So we can't stop our material life. That is not possible, artificially or immediately. But by progressively taking to the path of devotional service, gradually we'll be able to come to the platform of thinking constantly of Krishna. And then as one's love for Krishna develops, along with his awareness of Krishna, then proportionally one's desire to sense gratification will diminish. So this is the natural platform of reviving our Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, we've been trained up, as Prahlad Maharaj said, Matirna Krishna Parataksatova Krishna Vatevidu Swartikatim Hi Vishnu Dharashaya Ye Arta Bahir Arta Manina. We've been trained up to think that there's nothing beyond simply these external sense objects. Srila Prabhupada used to give the example, if you add many, many zeros together, the result is zero. But if you put a one in front of all those zeros, then it becomes a very big number. The basic misconception of civilization is identifying themselves with the body and thinking that there's nothing beyond sense gratification. But when one identifies himself with Krishna and understands that by adding Krishna to one's life, it becomes perfect, then all our activities become meaningful. And primarily in this age, whatever we do, we can chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, thank you very much. Are there any questions? To Muslims, generally it's better off not to explain it. Of course, if they're a little submissive, then you can try to explain it. The idea is that Parashya Shakir Vividaiva Shuriyate Svabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. That in this material world, we cannot perceive anything beyond matter because our senses are limited. But to serve Krishna with devotion out of love, there must be some means of understanding who Krishna is. You can't say you love someone unless you know something about them, and unless you have some opportunity to render service. Therefore, in this material world, because everything is actually the energy of God, just like the sunlight is not different from the sun, and the sun is not different from the sunlight. But still we cannot say that because the sunlight is sometimes present in the room, we cannot say that the sun is present. But we cannot say that the sunlight and the sun are different. They are simultaneously one and different. Therefore, Krishna, he agrees to appear within his energy in order to give us the facility of worshipping him. Otherwise, we simply speculate on what the form of Krishna is. And because we cannot meditate upon Krishna in trance in the neophyte stage, therefore Krishna gives us the facility to serve him with our present material senses, to offer him the results of our activities. Therefore, it's Krishna's mercy that he appears in the arch of form. But the arch of form is not mental speculation. It's, according to authorized scripture, the form of the deity is made conforming exactly to the form of Krishna. And when the bona fide representative of Krishna requests that Krishna enter into that form, then Krishna becomes the form. Of course, Krishna is already present. He's present in every atom. He's present in everyone's heart. He's present. He's actually the controller of all the energies. So in one sense, Krishna is always present. But when he is present as a deity form, then he acts in such a way as to reciprocate with our service to him in that form. Just like a mailbox. Srila Prabhupada used to use the example of a mailbox. That the post office is there, so you can put your letter into the post office. But there is also authorized letter boxes, postal boxes. So you can put your letter in that postal box and it'll go to its destination. The postal box acts just like the post office. But now that you can make your own box, paint it, I don't know, the letter box is here, red and blue. What was that? Red, yes. It's not that you decide that, why should I walk down the block to the post box? Let me make one little box, paint it red, and put it outside my window. And the postman will come and pick my letters up. No, you may paint it a box red, but because it's not authorized, therefore it won't be delivered. No one will come and pick the letters up. But there are authorized post boxes, authorized forms of the deity in the same way. If we worship those forms, then the desired result will be there. Gradually, Krishna will reveal himself. But now that we should think that Krishna and the deity are different. Krishna is so great that he can appear as the deity. Archa, Vishnu, Shila, Nav. That one who thinks that the deity form and Krishna are different, his mentality is hellish. Because he cannot see beyond matter. Of course, we cannot see beyond matter now. That's why Krishna is appearing as a deity. But if we understand with our intelligence how Krishna is the deity, and we serve him, that's really seeing. Seeing with intelligence is better than seeing with the eyes. The eyes are very limited. Our intelligence is more unlimited. Is that clear? Anything else? First of all, before we explain to people about the deity, better to try to convince them that they're not their body. Because everyone is worshipping a deity, but the deity, unfortunately, in the material world is generally our gross and subtle material body. Therefore, we think that we are the deity. But when we can convince someone, first of all, that they're not their body, then there's some beginning of acceptance of the fact that people are an illusion. That here is our body, always changing, but somehow or another, all of us were identifying ourselves with this changing body and thinking that I'll have a very nice future because somehow or another I'll improve my bodily or mental situation. But actually this is punat punas charvita charvananav, and it's simply the same thing over and over again. But when I become aware that I'm not my body, then I can understand that all my conceptions are wrong. That simply I'm living in a life of illusion. So from that platform, it's easier to accept that what I'm seeing as the material energy is according to my mental speculation. It's not what's actually taking place. Utkramantam spitim vati bunjanam vagunanvita vimudanana pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. That the foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of material nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. And so we're training ourselves and we're training others with knowledge. But that knowledge is realized only by practically applying Krishna consciousness in one's daily life, gradually. Therefore it says, yatanto yoginas chayanam pashant yatman yavastitam yatanto yakritasmano naivam pashant yachetasaha. The endeavoring transcendentalist who is situated in self-realization can see everything very clearly. But those who are not situated in self-realization, though they may try, cannot see what is taking place. So we should try to understand this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and then we could try to explain it to others. But we cannot expect that people in general are going to be able to understand everything immediately. So we should try to find out what the level of their understanding is, and speak on that level. Otherwise, if we speak on a level that people cannot comprehend, they'll become offensive. Either they think that we're talking nonsense, or they think that we're insulting their philosophy, that our philosophy is a challenge to theirs. Especially when we're dealing with certain religious groups, it's very dangerous to make it seem like we're challenging their philosophies. So we should try and find out their level of understanding and then try to explain things on that level. So that at least at first there's some acceptance. There's some basic grounds of acceptance. And then after that, then we could try to expand it to more subtle levels of understanding. I noticed that in these conversation books that Srila Prabhupada was speaking to, I thought were, should have been rather intelligent persons. The head of people working for UNESCO, people working for the United Nations, different professors at universities. And Srila Prabhupada, I was surprised to see that Srila Prabhupada, he started the conversation out speaking about the need for developing an intelligent class of men in society. Something that should be rather obvious. And for half an hour, there would be some discussion simply trying to convince him that there would be a need for developing an intelligent class of men. What to speak of that when you're not your body? Dying. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Acharya, Acharya, Jidu, Sri, Sri, Lan, His Divine Grace, Jula Bhakti, Siddhartha, Sarama,
Bhagavad Gita, Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, Jai.